You're listening to a message from Gateway Church Geelong. We hope it blesses you. For more information about Gateway, visit gc.org.au.
My message today is titled Image and Identity 101. For those of you who are in the room who haven't met me yet because you've joined us over the past 7 or 8 months, my name's Lee. I pastor here along with Naomi, my wife, at Gateway. It's great that you're here with us today. If you're watching online, I know that we've had some issues with the live stream today. If you're able to hear me or even see me, if you're really lucky, God bless you. We'll be uploading the full service later on so you can watch it without any interruptions. My prayer for every single one of us today is this, that the truth of the Bible becomes your reality today. That the truth of the Bible becomes your reality. It becomes the way that you think, the way that you expect God's promises to come to life in your personal life and your family's life becomes your reality. Who believes that is a prayer that you want answers in your life? I'm surprised I'm not seeing like streamers popping out everywhere. Like this is what I want, the Bible and its truth to be my daily reality, amen. Now, today I'm believing that each of us are equipped with God's word, with God's promises. And my prayer today is that you personally encounter God, amen. That the Spirit of God comes and ministers to your heart. You know, one of our core vision statements is this, that we are a church, we're a church where all will know that their image and identity is found in and through Jesus Christ. Our image and identity comes from no other place. We can have false identities put upon us. We can take on false identities, but our true image, our true identity is only found in and through Jesus Christ. So today, what I want to speak about today is how God identifies you. How God identifies you personally. How he renews and transforms us through Jesus. Today, know this, when it comes to when you come into relationship with God, you are renewed, you are restored, you are justified, you are sanctified, and you become one of his chosen people. That is your promise through Jesus when you accept Christ as Lord and Savior. So this morning, know that the Bible, God's word, is clear in your standing with him. When you respond to Jesus as Lord of your life, when you believe that Jesus went to the cross, that he went to the grave, that he rose again on the third day for the forgiveness of your sins, your position and standing changes. Amen. Who believes that is the truth for their life? Now, if you're not there yet, I want to encourage you by the end of today, I pray that this becomes a truth and a reality for you. You know, it says in Ephesians 2:18 to verse 22, this is what it said. That's plain enough, isn't it? You're no longer wandering exiles. This kingdom of faith is now your home country. You're no longer strangers or outsiders. You belong here with as much right to the name Christian as anyone. Not the name Christian. Christ follower, Christian. You have as much right to that name Christian as anyone. God is building a home. He's using us all. Irrespective of how we got here, in what he is building. He used the apostles and the prophets for the foundation. Now he's using you, fitting you brick by brick, stone by stone, with Christ as the cornerstone that holds all the parts together. We see it taking shape day after day, a holy temple built by God, all of us built into it, a temple in which God is quite at home. He dwells in his temple, brick by brick. He's putting us together to make a holy temple. We are his temple. We are the place where he dwells. Amen? So you're no longer classed as someone who wanders aimlessly through life with no fixed spiritual address. No, that's not you anymore. You have a fixed spiritual address and God dwells in it. Amen. Your standing changes. Your position changes. See, God's kingdom, God's home is now your home and God's home is in you. By the time I finish, you're going to be like, I get it. I get it now, Pastor. It's not a metaphor anymore. I get it. Spirit of God dwells in me. And so I say this, you belong here. You belong in the local church. You belong here in the kingdom of God. You belong in the kingdom. You belong to your local church. Can I encourage you, if you ever feel like you don't fit into the local church, it's a lie from the enemy. It's something he used to try and confuse believers. Don't believe the lie. I'll talk a little bit more about that as we go along. Don't believe it. That's not God's best for your life. That's not the word of God for your life. Amen. And so I say this, never give in to the feelings or misconception that you don't fit into the kingdom of God. In fact, often those feelings can come up from insecurities. They can come up from undealt with things in our old lives that butt up and clash against our new state of salvation, identity, and chosenness. I know that's not a real word. There's a hyphen in between it, just in case anyone's like, "How? That's not a word." So I'm making it a word because we are chosen. I'm identifying your state of chosenness in God. God wants to bring healing and restoration to those wounds and those thoughts and those insecurities that bring confusion to your doubt of your good standing with Him. So be encouraged. In this church, in this local church, there is a pathway for you to seek counsel, for you to seek encouragement, for you to seek prayer, conversation, referral, if that's what it needs to be. Part of the emotional and spiritual journey that God is calling us to is learning not to give up or surrender to the doubtful thoughts. Anyone who's struggled with those doubtful thoughts, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Thoughts of not believing in yourself, because whether it's self-worth or you've been told that you have no worth by others, don't give in to those thoughts and feelings. You are a new creation. You are part of God's spiritual kingdom. Don't surrender. The Bible says who you are. I'll go to this passage of scripture again. I love coming back to this scripture because I feel like on a daily basis for us as believers, as followers of Jesus, this is what we need to work on and be reminded on every single day. Romans 12, verse 2. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. See, our old self, our old thinking will always be at odds with God's best for our lives. The thoughts of confusion, the doubt, feeling like an imposter in your own spirituality, it's because it's your old thinking at odds with God's perfect, good, and pleasing will for your life. And that's why we need to have our emotional, our mind, our will, and our emotions renewed on a daily basis, because He's transforming us into the new spiritual being that we are. Obviously, that happens at salvation, but our emotions and our mind and our will need to catch up to that. Amen. That's the transforming part. It's our old ways, our old thinking, the way that we used to do life. He's transforming those on a daily basis. It's not a hopefully one day I'll get there. I guarantee you that people who used to know you a decade ago when you were running wild with no vision for your life, if they were to look at you today, they would say, "You're a different person." But we look at ourselves and you're like, "I'm just the same filthy old person that I used to be." It's not true. It's not true. Who you were a decade ago is not who you are today. Is there still work for God to do in transforming the way we think? Of course there is. But you're not doing the things that you used to do. You're not that person anymore. You are saved, redeemed, set apart. You're another brick in the temple where God dwells. Amen. And so this is why we're encouraged not to become acquainted and comfortable with the culture and practices of the world. They were our old ways. The world's culture, the world's practices, they were our old ways. We don't want to become acquainted with the practices and culture. Do we want to be acquainted with the people who were part of it? Amen, because they're the people that God wants to bring into the kingdom, amen. But it's not our thinking, the way we think. We shouldn't be thinking with the same culture. We shouldn't be thinking with the same practices, amen. It's about taking God's word a step further, and God takes it a step further. God's encouragement for us all is for our mind, our will, and emotions to be transformed. Make space for it to be transformed. You know, the way we think, I just want to encourage you to put your mind at ease with this. It's the way we think, it's framed by so many things. So many things. You can't just say, oh, it was a teacher at school who they've just wrecked my life and that's why I'm struggling today. They may be a part of what happened, but there's so many things that frame us as humans. It's our upbringing, our experiences, the environment that we were brought up in, the suburb, the house, the school, the education we received, the peers that we had around us, the expectations that were either on us or we put on ourselves, the country, the state, the suburb, the culture of those things, amongst some other factors too. The way we think is framed by so many things, which is why we need to make room for the Spirit of God to transform the way we think. All of a sudden, you're like, Pastor, Romans 12 verse 2 just sounds a little bit different from what I thought now. I was battling with one little thought that I was, Lord, renew that thought. Now I'm understanding that I need my whole mind and the way I think about my place in the kingdom to be renewed and transformed. See, instead of stepping back, God is calling us to be participators in a new way of living and thinking. He's calling you to personally be a participator in the way that you live, in the way that you think in a renewed way. And see, lastly, this is how we get clear vision and understanding of what we're meant to be doing with our lives. The last part of Romans 12 verse 2 there refers to the fact that then we'll know God's perfect will, which is good and pleasing for our lives. So as we are renewed of our way of thinking, our eyes open up to all the things that God has in front of us. And I'm not talking about in front of us in the future. I'm talking about in front of us right now. We've got family and friends and a local church that loves me. And this is, I have God's very best in front of me right now, but now my eyes have been opened to the good and perfect will that's around me right now. And I want to be a participator with what's in front of me right now. So he will guide you into goodness. He will guide you into perfect plans. You're no longer controlled by the old ways and the old patterns of the world and your old self. So remember, your old self has been crucified with Christ. Amen. Trent knows that scripture better than anybody. For those of you who weren't here a couple of years ago, he had to repeat it every week through a microphone for us. It's now his. He wakes up in the morning, just Galatians 2, verse 20. It's not you anymore. You have a new identity. You have a new identity. Don't buy into the untruth. And I say it again. Do not buy into the untruth that you are a recovering sinner. It's not even a thing. It's not a thing. Can I, one more time. Do not buy into the untruth that you are a recovering sinner. See, with so many other challenges in the world, people refer to themselves as recovering or reformed. I feel the Spirit of God just like resting in this moment. See, in this case, in your case, your truth today is that you are neither recovering or reformed as a sinner. Your truth is this, that you are renewed, you are sanctified, you are justified as a son and daughter of God through Jesus Christ. That is your truth, new life. The old life was the sinful life. That isn't even who you identify with anymore. You identify with the righteousness and holiness of Jesus Christ. Do not buy into the untruth that you're a filthy recovering sinner. It is not true, and it's a lie that's been used to keep people in a place. Amen? It's a controlling untruth that keeps people where people want them to be, not where God has positioned them. Amen? It comes with your identity, and it becomes your identity when you confess that Jesus Christ is Lord of your life. What does it mean to be chosen and identified as a child of God? I just want us to answer some of these questions, because I feel like for all of our lives, we need to just keep standing on this truth. We need to keep standing on who we are in Jesus Christ as chosen and identified as a child of God. Now, in 1 Peter 2, verse 9 and 10, this is what it says. But you're not like that, for you are a chosen people. You are royal priests, a holy nation, God's very own possession. As a result, you can show others the goodness of God. For he called you out of the darkness and into his wonderful light. Verse 10, once you had no identity as a people, now you are God's people. Once you received no mercy, now you've received God's mercy. So what are we meant to do with this chosenness? What are we meant to do with this image and identity that we have been identified with? Firstly, we're called to live it and be it. It's not identity that we go to our cupboard on Sunday morning. Oh, Sunday identity. Excellent. Brother, sister. No, it's not. That is not what we're called to do. It is a daily, lifelong identity that we've been identified with, that we've been called to live and be, not act, live and be on a daily basis. You are not an imposter. You are not an imposter in the kingdom of God. Your image and identity, it's God-given. It's a God-given image, identity, and chosenness. And it's time for you to learn to live in it and be it. Amen. And you're like, I don't know how to do that. Well, it's time to get close to some people that do. Disconnect from your acquaintances out there with the culture of the world and connect with people who are living it and being it. That's when you begin to see, it's like, okay, that's how I activate it on a daily basis. They don't have all the answers, but they've got some key things to pass on to you. Amen. The second thing that we're called to do with it is you're called to share it in your words, your actions, and your deeds. If all you can do to start off with is share it in your actions and deeds, the way you live your life on a daily basis and the things that you do to help other people, if that's all you can do to show your image and identity to start off with, awesome. That is amazing. Let the words come later. At the end of the day, my wife used to say this to me all the time, actions speak louder than words. She was right. Even if she wasn't right, I would say, no, I'm kidding. If all you can do is live your life following Jesus, showing the goodness of God. Just do it. Don't worry about what comes next. God will open up a way for you to be able to eventually begin to share with people that you're building relationships on. That's okay. That's okay. I just want to encourage you. I truly believe that this is where people struggle with feeling like an imposter sometimes. It's like, who am I? Who am I to share of the goodness and the holiness and the righteousness of Jesus? Because that person saw me last week at work bite the head off a team member. Literally, I bit the head off a team. No, they've seen me at my worst. Who am I to share the goodness of God? Can I encourage you again? Once you hadn't received mercy, now you have received mercy. Once you didn't know what grace was, now you know what grace is. It's Jesus, his perfect will, his perfect love. Did we deserve it? No. But now, receiving Jesus, now we've received the fullness of it, amen. Don't feel like an imposter. It's a lie that you cannot believe. You are chosen, set apart. You are God's holy nation. I want to encourage you, at the end of verse 9, this is from multiple different translations here, but I'm going to speak this over you. You can show others the goodness of God, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of the darkness into his wonderful light. He chose you to tell about the wonderful things he has done. You're God's instruments to do his work and speak out for him, to tell others of the night and day difference he has made. Don't worry about what other people think about your actions. Sometimes we get it wrong. Sometimes we get it wrong. And I want to encourage you, when we do get it wrong, the best thing that we can do is go back to the person and make it right. Because actions speak louder, right? Don't just let it fester. Don't let it turn into workplace hostilities. Don't let it turn into broken families. No, let's go back and make things right. Then we can share about God's goodness. Then we can share about what he's done in our lives. You know, when you go back and make restitution with someone, you know what it does show? That God has brought you out of the darkness into his wonderful light. God is a good God. It's collectively and individually, we have been made his chosen people. We have been made royal priests, holy people, part of a holy kingdom. And I just want to encourage you, it's not in our own ability and striving. We can't do it in our own ability and striving. We just get tired. No, it's not that. It's through God's wonderful grace, Jesus. It's through his mercy to us. You've been called, I speak this over your life today. You've been called out of the darkness into the light. You're not dwelling in the darkness. If you're following Jesus, if Jesus is Lord of your life, you're not dwelling in the darkness. You've been called into his light. Make no mistake, the King of Kings, the Creator, the Anointed One has called you out of the old life into this new life, and it is your new identity. Don't have a second doubt to his goodness. Don't have a second doubt to his favor and his grace and his mercy. It's something that you've already received as a follower, or if you don't know Jesus yet, it's something that you can receive. Amen. Lastly, from verse 10, clearly stated for you today. I'm just going to push it just again today. Once we had no identity as a people. Now we're God's people. Amen. He has made us into a people. We have been given a God-given identity in Jesus. Now, it may be easy at times. Maybe it's easy for you to feel like you're on the outside as identifying of one of God's people. I think for all of us in this room, there's been times on our Christian walk, particularly in those first early couple of years, where it's like, where we're struggling with the old ways. It's like, yeah, and we're in and out of doing the right thing and the wrong thing and the right thing and the wrong. It's easy to feel like, oh, I don't really identify as one of those chosen people. I just want to encourage you with this. Circumstances, decisions we make, actions we do or don't do, please don't allow circumstances and shame and guilt and other voices and feelings to undermine your right standing and your identity of chosen royal priest and proclaimer of God's goodness and good news. They are very real things that we wrestle with, but it should not undermine our image and identity in Christ. See, instead, be encouraged. Allow yourself to be immersed in the truth of the Bible and what God says about you. I'll say it again. You are chosen. You are part of a royal priesthood. You are collectively a holy nation of people. You are a proclaimer of the good news of Jesus. And so the wrestle of our minds and living in a place of this new identity, it can be hard at different times. Sometimes it can feel like a roller coaster. Is anyone else with me? It can feel like a roller coaster. And I just want to give you a couple of different antidotes to that wrestle. Because it would be, I feel like it would be unwise of me to say, this is who God says you are, that off you go. That you need to take something with you where you can activate your identity on a daily basis. And the first thing I want to give you is this. Be someone who is making time for spiritual interaction. It's part of the antidote. If your spirituality is lived through somebody else, as in your friend or your partner or someone close to you prays a lot and you're like piggybacking onto their prayers, it's like, oh, sister, can you pray for this for me? So, and the sister should be answering back, brother, can you pray for it yourself? I want to encourage you, make time for spiritual interaction. If you want to be someone who is like up against like the wrestle, and it's like, you know what? The wrestle comes under my feet in Jesus' name rather than being pinned to the ground. No, that's not the position that God's called you to be in, amen. So make time for spiritual interactions. And I want to encourage you, the simplest place to start, Acts 2 verse 42. Four simple things that we can do to keep the spiritual interaction going. Make time for fellowship. Well, you're doing that today. Awesome. You go into small group later next week. Awesome. Making time for fellowship. Make time for breaking of the bread, communion. You've done that this morning. Well done. Making time for the word of God and prayer. Well, the word of God, you're making room for that this morning. Awesome. You're gonna re-listen to this during the week, or you're gonna listen to another podcast. You're gonna open up your Bible and say, oh, this is what God says about me. I'm chosen. So use these things to learn how to use your spiritual authority, to learn how to speak the promises of chosenness and God's identity over yourself, over ourselves, amen. The second simple antidote that I want to share with you is this. Make time for renewal of the mind. Make time for renewal of mind. So what does that mean, Pastor? You need to make time for having good chats and good conversations with people, at learning how to use your emotions well, whether that's in pastoral counsel, whether that's seeing a counselor, a psychologist, whatever you need to do for your personal journey of learning how to use your emotions well. And then once you're learning those things and you find out the things that you need to work on, then you take Romans 12 verse 2 and you begin to take those things before the Lord and you list those things. Because I want to encourage you, please, please don't pray this prayer. Don't pray the prayer that I prayed. Lord God, just renew my complete mind. Obviously, the Lord's gracious to us and he receives those prayers. But can I encourage you, when you begin to find out the old thoughts and the old patterns and the old behaviors from the old culture that you used to be part of that have been the wrestle, when you find out that the way that you speak to people is downputting, when you find out the way that you use your emotions in anger has people cowering in the corner and you've only just become aware, they're the very things that we need to take before the Lord. It's like, Lord God, Romans 12 verse 2 says that you can renew my mind. And specifically, help me renew my issues with anger. Specifically, help me renew my issues with the way that I use my tongue. It is sharp and it's cutting people. I need you to help me on a daily basis. I'll do the action, but I need your spiritual renewal of my mind to outwork it. Is that good for us today? I encourage you this morning that I'm speaking from personal experience around these things. This has been part of my wrestling, my pursuit of following Jesus. Make space for renewal of the mind in our behaviors, in our thought patterns. Allow for healing, allow for restoration of things that undermine the promises of God in our life. Amen? So as we come to a close today, just as the team comes, this encouragement for you today, just around knowing your image and identity that's from God. It's not something that's been made up. This is your image and identity from God. I want to encourage you, now that you've heard this, now that maybe some misconceptions have been dispelled, maybe now that you understand the biblical foundation for your chosenness and identity, maybe now can I encourage you to take hold. Take hold of it and claim it as your own. Don't look at the people next to you, you know, lamenting that one day, Lord, let me step in to be that person. No, right now in Jesus' name, you are that person. Right now, this is who you are. And I want to encourage you, speak it over yourself. This information that I'm about to speak over you, it's in the notes in the Bible app. Can I encourage you? If this is something that God is calling you to work on a daily basis, can I encourage you to copy that into your notes, save the notes, and speak it over yourself. When you wake up in the morning, speak this over yourself. I am chosen. I am part of a royal priesthood. I am part of God's holy nation. I'm a proclaimer of the good news of Jesus. I've been fitted perfectly in the kingdom of God. And Jesus is the cornerstone in whom I trust and believe. Speak the promises of God's word. This isn't just something that I made up. This is the scriptures that we've read this morning. Speak it over yourself. Wake up in the morning. If that's all you can do to start your day with, speak this over yourself in Jesus' name, amen. Ephesians 3 verse 20, our scripture for 2020. Never doubt God's mighty power to work in you and accomplish all of this. Now, this message this morning, I just want to encourage you. Never doubt God's image, identity, and chosenness for your life. Never doubt that He can accomplish it. He will achieve infinitely more than your greatest request, your most unbelievable dream, and exceed your wildest imagination. He will outdo them all, for His miraculous power constantly energizes you. The image and identity of Christ energizes you. Amen. Just as we close our eyes this morning, for all of us who know Jesus personally, for those of us who are following Jesus in a daily relationship, I want to encourage you, even at this moment in time, just carve out a moment in time this morning to cultivate your image and identity that God has given you. Even those of you who have been followers of Jesus for a long time, and you're comfortable with your faith and you're comfortable with your salvation, but let's make time to carve out this morning. My image and identity, I am chosen. I'm identified. I'm part of a royal priesthood. I am part of God's holy nation. It's who I am in Jesus' name. I'm no longer an exile who's out there wandering the desert. I'm a citizen of the kingdom of God. I have a fixed spiritual address. And God lives in that fixed spiritual address in me, amen. And Holy Spirit, I pray for every single person right now who knows you personally, Father God. I pray over you right now. Just lift your hands to God where you are. I pray right now that the image and identity would overflow you fresh again, a fresh renewing understanding of your image and identity in God. You are not an imposter. You are chosen and set apart in Jesus' powerful name. And Holy Spirit, I pray for our words and our actions and our deeds. Holy Spirit, as we're renewed on a daily basis in you, the way we think, the way we speak, who we are in Jesus' name, let it be your perfect will that is good and pleasing, Father God. Let it overflow out of our lives into the people around us. Let us be known as people who represent the kingdom of God in truth, in goodness, in holiness, in righteousness, in our words, our actions, and our deeds, Father God. Holy Spirit, in Jesus' powerful name, we pray that this morning. Amen. Now, if you're in this room or you're watching online now or at a later time, I want to encourage you, if you don't know Jesus personally, if you don't know your image and identity in God, this morning there is a moment for you, an opportunity for you to know love, to know hope, to know forgiveness and peace, and ultimately have a personal relationship with God through Jesus. That same image and identity that I've been talking about today, it's available to all of us. It's available for you today. It says in Romans 10 verse 9 that if you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, that you will be saved. That is the gateway, the entryway to come into relationship with God. And so if that's you today and you're like, you know, I want to know God personally. I want to know his forgiveness. I want forgiveness of sin so that I can be known as a son and a daughter of God. If that's you today, can I encourage you? Pray this prayer after me. If you're watching online now or at a later time, pray this prayer after me. It's a prayer of salvation and following Jesus. So why don't we close our eyes? Lord Jesus, I thank you that you went to the cross, you went to the grave, and you rose again for the forgiveness of my sins. Today, Jesus, I choose to follow you. I believe it in my heart. I confess it with my mouth that Jesus is Lord and God raised you. I surrender my life to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you prayed that prayer for the first time today or you've prayed it again, I want to encourage you with this. Don't leave it there. There is a beautiful life out in front of you every single day of walking and following Jesus. And we would love to help you learn how to follow Jesus. If you're watching online, you can go to gc.org.au/first steps. All the information is there for you. If you're in the room, you can have a chat to me after the service. You can go to that website if that's more comfortable for you. But don't leave it there. Please get connected with us. Because how do we learn how to follow Jesus? Well, Jesus identified all of us as disciples, and disciples help mentor other people in the ways of Jesus. Amen. It's a great commission, and we want to bless you and encourage you in following Jesus.